recording. All right, now this session is recording. So as I said, guys, I've got the questions that I have are from Ntabi Seng and Norma regarding the one sentence business plan. All right, so let's basically start from the beginning. What just to refresh your memory, what the one sentence business plan is, what the structure is. So the one sentence business plan is one of the most effective ways I've found over the years for a business owner to just communicate clearly what it is they do, not in answering the question when someone says, what do you do? Well, of course you can use it there, but more to tell yourself what business you are in. So there are four questions basically that you answer in the one sentence business plan. Number one is, what market do you serve or do you want to serve? Because sometimes it's just a plan for a new venture that you'll be getting into, or it's your business. It's what you've been doing for the last 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. So the first question is, what market do you serve or what market do you want to serve? So that's number one. Number two, what product or service do you want to sell to that market? Or what product or service do you currently sell to that market? So that's question number two. Number three, what will you sell to people who buy that product or service? Some people don't understand this part, but what it is really is that, remember, when we get a customer or a client, as much as a lot of small businesses forget this, but when you've got a client or a customer, it's not just about that one transaction. It's a relationship for life, if you want, or it's a relationship for years and years and years and years. That's why you always hear hear people talk about the lifetime value of a client or a customer. Because it's not just that one transaction, you know. Acquiring a customer, to get somebody to buy from you, is actually one of the most expensive exercises that you can do as a business owner. Because think about what goes into it. One, they've never heard of you. Through your advertising or marketing or word of mouth, people find out about you. The next thing, nobody says, oh, now that I know you, Sia, I just found out about you this morning. I feel like sending you money. It doesn't work like that. So they're just interested in the whatever it is that you do. The next thing, there are issues of trust, where they have to decide whether they trust you or your business enough to want to buy from you. Some people will talk about the know, like, and trust scenario, where people need to know you, they need to like you, because the reality that people, all things being equal, I'm sure you've heard this one, all things being equal, people want to do business with people they like. You know? Unless, of course, there's no one else in the marketplace who does that thing, then, you know, we'll just close our noses and say, let's go right in and do business with people we don't like. But it's called the likability factor. You know, as a business person, you don't want to go around as a business person trying to get people to like you. You actually want to be yourself. You want to be as authentic as possible so that people like you for who you are, rather than you kind of put on this fake thing about yourself, this facade, where they have to, you pretend to be something that they would like. That's probably the worst thing you can do, because now when they discover that actually they don't like you, so just be you, so that they know if, you know, they resonate with you, they like your energy. So that third question, what will you sell to people who buy that product or service, is basically saying, now that they are already a customer, because now they bought something from you, which is what qualified them to be a customer or a client, because you did a transaction with them. They bought something. They sent you money. You delivered whatever it is that you were selling to them. Now what? Is there something else that you can offer after that? And I gave you examples in lesson two. I'll go through some of those examples just to tie this together for you to kind of refresh your memory. So that's what that question three is asking. Now that they're a customer, what else do you have for them? Yes. So number four is, how will you reach that market? How will you reach them? Because it's all good and well to know who your market is, to know what it is you sell to them, to know what it is you will sell to them once they buy the first thing. But then the question, which is probably one of the biggest questions really in business, is how are you going to get them? How are you going to get customers? Because a lot of people that I come across who have got small companies, new businesses, one of their biggest headaches is that they need clients. You know, I say, well, I'm looking for customers. I'm struggling to find customers. I'm struggling to find clients. So that's why it's important to have clarity in terms of how you will reach the market that you're going after. All right. So let's look at the examples that I shared with you guys in lesson two. So I'm just going to read the one sentence that answers these four things that I just shared with you. So let's go. One example was this one. I want to sell an investment advice newsletter to business executives who earn at least 2 million rand per year. So what I've just answered here is, what is the market? The market is business executives who earn at least 2 million rand per year. That's the market I'm going after. What am I selling them? An investment advice newsletter. So that's what I'm selling them. So that's question one and question two. And then it continues. Then offer them a software-based trading platform. That's number three. And I'll reach them by renting customer lists of other financial newsletter publishers. Okay, let me read that again. I want to sell an investment advice newsletter to business executives who earn at least 2 million rand per year. Then offer them a software-based trading platform, and I'll reach them by renting customer lists of other financial newsletter publishers. So that's how I'm going to reach them. Let's look at another one that answers these four questions. I want to sell women a monthly membership to a live-streamed virtual spin class. So that's question one and two. Who am I? What am I selling? I'm selling a monthly membership to a live streamed virtual spin class, especially now. I mean, with COVID, people are at home. So a lot of things are happening virtual. People can't go to gym. So they can they can spin at home. You know, they can have their spin class online in a live streamed way. So you could sell them a monthly membership, the same way gyms sell monthly membership for people to actually go to gym. Now they can just, do their spinning at home. So, but who's the market? The market is women. So I want to sell women a monthly membership to a live streamed virtual spin class. So that's one and two. Then offer them health and weight management supplements and other branded health related products. And I'll reach them via Instagram, Facebook, and content marketing. So this one answers those four questions. Women is the target market. What is the first offer? The first offer is the monthly membership, live stream virtual spin class. Once they sign up for that, because now they've signed up, you know, their debit orders are just going through every month. What else are you going to sell them? Why are they spinning? You know, of course, for health reasons. So you can sell them health supplements that support their goal for spinning. Or some people want to lose weight. So you could also sell them supplements that will, again, while they're training, they're also taking supplements to help them along on that journey of losing weight, if that was the goal. And you will also sell them other branded health-related products. Because the thing I think that I would like you guys to get, since we're talking about this, is that as a business, I know that our program is about partnerships specifically, but that's just one component of your total business. So I'm just going to talk about now what this, the business plan is not about partnerships, it's about your overall business. It just helps you focus your mind as to what your business is about, what it sells. But the point I want to make right now on this example is that as a business, it always helps if the client that you're going after, there are other things that are related to what you sell that they require, that they can buy somewhere else. It's never a bad idea to make it easier for your clients or customers to get those things from you. Whether it means partnering with other companies that are offering those things so that they just get them through you. A simple example, let's look at the cell phone companies. They don't manufacture phones. Their business is they sell data. They sell, you know, airwaves, really. They sell airtime. They sell data for surfing the internet and all that, and streaming videos and all of that. But they don't make devices. But they know that in order for somebody to consume that data, they will need a device. So what do? They partner with companies that, you know, that manufacture or that sell those devices. A simple example, when my Mac crashed last week, I was considering all options before I settled on one. One was to just go buy a new Mac. The other option was that my phone, as it happened, was up for an upgrade, you know, and then my wife just brought that to my attention. Why don't you just upgrade your phone and just take a Mac on this package that MTN is offering? And as it happened, MTN didn't have stock for these Macs. So the alternative was to check the iStore if they had the MacBook Air that MTN was offering as part of their package and upgrade through the iStore, which is a partner to MTN. You see, so the partnership so MTN doesn't make Macs. Of course, iStore doesn't make Macs as well. It's an Apple product, but they are a distributor for South Africa. So by for MTN to partner with all of these manufacturers of devices, they are making it easy for somebody to get whatever device they want under the MTN roof. So I think this example of these branded health products is just an example. So for your business, what can you offer? You know, for instance, people who are financial advisors, there are financial advisors that are specializing for one company, let's say Liberty or whatever, but there are others who sell everything across the board, you know, because they become your broker. They become your one-stop shop for all these things. Look at this as a kind of a bonus chat, really, but I'm just trying to ask you, for your business, where are people sending? Because remember, as businesses, we get a share of somebody's wallet. We get a share of our customer's wallet. Are there areas, are there things that you can include in your business that may not necessarily be your products or services, that way you can partner with somebody so that you increase your own share of your customer's wallet so that they spend more money with you? Because whatever money your customers send you is a fraction of all the money they have or of all the money they spend per month. That's what Amazon is doing right now. If you look at what Amazon's doing, they want to own close to 100% of their customers' wallet. They'll sell you books, they'll sell you CDs, they'll sell you clothes, they'll sell you shoes, they'll sell you live streaming, they'll sell you, I mean, anything you can imagine, you can buy it on Amazon. They even sell you Prime, which is their membership, where you pay them on a monthly basis for this. So anyway, I think I've made the point here. This example just triggered that thought, and I thought maybe I should highlight why this is important. And then I'll give one last example before I come to the questions from Ntabi Seng and Norma. The last example is this one that I'm going to touch on. Of course, you've got this on your notes, guys. So if you want to refresh yourself, just go to your notes. You already have it. I want to sell divorced men a book about how to get dates with women. I never knew what a difficult thing this is until I've spoken to men who have been divorced, or just people, not just men, even women who are married for years and years and years and years. After 20 years of being married, you have to enter the dating game. It can be quite an intimidating thing for people. So this person, they sell divorced men a book about how to get dates with women. So now that this guy is divorced, he can just get this book and read it to refresh his memory, you know, how to get his game together so that he can start being, you know, being somebody of interest that women who are single can actually see him and, you know, and look and have opportunities to date. And then offer them testosterone supplements, style advice, and dating and relationship coaching, how are you going to reach them? I'm going to reach them by using print media ads, Google AdWords, and via joint ventures with businesses in related industries. Let's look at this. So the first thing that this person will sell is a book. They'll get these people into their business as a customer by selling them a book, these divorced men. But once they buy that book, does that mean these men won't buy anything that relates to dating? Of course not. They still have money left, and they probably want to get more and more and more advanced in this dating world beyond what was in the book. So this person says, okay, of course, the likelihood is that these men are probably in their 50s and maybe late 40s or whatever the case. But because they've been married for so long, their age obviously has advanced over the years. So testosterone becomes a thing for men as they become older. So this person will offer them supplements, to keep their levels of testosterone higher in their bodies. The other thing is that style advice, because they were married, they probably kind of let themselves go a little bit because they didn't have to look too cool. I don't know why men do this, by the way, where they kind of relax because I'm married now. I'm not a catch for anybody, so they forget to be a catch for their wives. But now, this person will help them to be up to date with what men are wearing these days. Oh, gee, you need to lose those pants. They're so 1995, dude. Like, this is 2020. This is what men wear now. So style advice. And then the other thing is dating and relationship coaching, because beyond the book, they may need guidance. They may need somebody who could really prep them, help them get over their anxiety, their fear of rejection, all of that stuff. So this person will offer them coaching. And then how is this person going to reach them? Okay, men in their 50s, where do they spend their time? They read newspapers. They've got subscription in Business Day or whatever newspaper or Sunday Times. So I want to be where they get their news. So print media for probably that age group, it makes sense. Google AdWords, because everybody's online, right? So when they Google dating women, boom, your ad pops up in Google AdWords. And then, of course, who else is already selling something to these men? Gyms, for instance, are probably a place where somebody could partner with them to say, hey, I've got this offering for men. Can we partner so that I can make this offering to them because they're already your client, whatever the case. But anyway, I think you guys, I'm sure you guys get, I've reminded you of this now. You get this. So let's look at the examples that, at the questions rather that were sent to me. So in Tabiseng, I'm looking at yours first, the one that you sent me a couple of weeks ago. I don't know. Okay, great. I'm glad you unmuted yourself. I've got three here. I don't know if there's one in particular that you want me to, or you want us to look at all three one at a time. Which one, what do you prefer?
The third bullet is the one that I'm concentrating on
the
right
third
now.
One. Okay.
Yes. It was not a question. It was, we have sent it to you and we never got feedback whether we are on the right track or we're not on the right track.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Let's look at it then.
Yeah.
I want to partner with a funeral scheme company. That's the market. To offer them a wellness program for their clientele at the time of bereavement, to assist their client to cope while making necessary arrangement of their loved one. So that's basically your product. This is what I'm selling them. I will reach these companies by contacting them, cold calling and or sending an email. Well, that's it. You've answered number one, what the market is. You've answered what it is you are offering them. The thing that you have not answered, and I think I understand why at this stage, is once they become your partner or your client, what else are you gonna offer them? That question, of course, you may not have that answer right now, but you may have other products that you're gonna introduce into that relationship as the time goes, because what you are offering, as we discussed it last night, is already quite a big offering in its own right.
Correct.
But yes, that's 100%. that one sentence business plan is correct.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I just wanted the comfortability to get it from you, seeing that one is just rushing into this, and you know, I just wanted the comfortability.
No, I totally understand. I'm glad you brought it up. It was not really because the exercises that I gave you guys for that week, I wanted to focus a lot more on the letters and whatever. So I kind of overlooked this because I thought, well, it's a side note, and I think it's pretty clear. But I'm glad you brought it up. I think I should have unpacked it in our Q&As. But so thank you for making it a question that we can deal with. Awesome. And I'll move on to Norma. Norma, I received your email as well. I think it was yesterday, if I am not mistaken. I am trying to pull it out of my emails. Here we go. If you can unmute yourself, Norma. So this one for you, it sounds to me like you, because your email said, here's my new idea. So can you just tell me a little bit?
Oh, hi, everyone. So I got this, like I said, this idea was based on the challenge that I'm going through now.
Sure.
I was planning to have sort of like a workshop for my daughter and my sister's kids, and just teach them about the social issues that we don't normally talk about. So then I thought maybe this is something that I could expand and get into a partnership with the corporate to do this thing. To roll it out on a larger scale.
Mm. Yeah. No, I hear you. I'll read it out so that these guys can also get it. I liked it, by the way. When I saw it yesterday, I was like, whoa, this is so cool. Because it really touches, you know, it goes to the heart of, you know, what every parent is kind of like, how do I bring up this conversation. Let me just read it through so that everybody knows what we're talking about. So here it goes. I want to offer kids workshops to parents and guardians who wish to educate their kids on difficult topics such as types of abuse, body changes, blended families, self-esteem, bullying, etc., etc. Then give them goodie bags that have educational material they can complete at home together as a family. I'll reach them via social media platforms such as Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So that's one. Here's another one-sentence business plan that Norma sent me. I want to offer kids workshops to families who want to create awareness to their kids about issues that might be difficult to bring up as parents. Issues such as body changes, types of abuse, self-esteem, bullying, divorce, blended families, etc. Then give them goodie bags that will include activities they should complete as a family. I will reach my target market via social media platforms. Both of these, perfect. And I think, but I hope you guys get this. As I read this, can you actually see how clear somebody's business becomes when they communicate it like this? Even to the, especially to themselves, but it also helps us who are just listening. Because now it's very clear what Norma is offering here. She's offering workshops to parents, guardians, and or families. And what are these workshops about? They are about educating their kids on difficult topics such as these, you know, abuse and different types of abuse, because abuse can be very subtle in some cases, you know. So it's important for people to know when they're being abused in you know, financially, emotionally, or whatever the case. It's not, as you guys know, it's not just physical. So body changes, you know, as girls grow up, or in some cases even boys, as boys grow up, you know, all of these things that they need to understand. Blended families, self-esteem, big thing, especially in this day of social media, where kids, you know, get, you know, bullied, not just at school, but also on social media, and all of the types of things they encounter, obviously online. But it's very clear. I think the point I'm making is that this is very clear. The only thing I would add to this one, Norma, is the way you said, then give them goodie bags that have educational material they can complete at home together as a family. That one is not very clear to me whether this is part of the workshop. So they come to the work, you do this workshop for them and with them. And then as part of that, they get the goodie bag. If that's what it is, it's fine. I would not include it in the business plan. What I would want to see though in the business plan is, now that they've signed up for your workshop, what else? No, because now they're a customer of yours. They paid you to do this workshop for them, whatever model you use for this workshop, whether they come to the venue, whether you do this online, or whether you do this with a family at a time where you just work with that family on their specific issue. But the question becomes, after that, what then do you offer them? Will you introduce a program where you will say, I will coach kids for a year, let's just say, right? Where you say, now that they've gotten the workshop, they understand these topics, or whether you were coaching parents, of course, or families, what's next, you know, after the workshop? Because usually when people attend something like a workshop, which is a short-term thing, like a day or a couple of hours, usually they need a bit more to be taken on a journey. So it could be a workshop, it could be a book, you know, maybe this educational material, more than it just being part of a goodie bag, it could be actually a standalone product that they can buy. So after they've gone through the workshop, they still get the goodie bag. But you say, guys, there's also a course maybe where with 5 or 6 videos they can watch on their own, and there's in-depth manual that they can use for the next 6 months and beyond. So something like that, I think that would be maybe the next thing. Of course, I don't know what your next thing will be. So I just need, that would be the one thing that I would look at, as that would be my feedback to you about this, to say, maybe just go and have a look again as to what would be the next offering, where they'll continue to pay you as your clients or customers going forward. My bias generally tends to be towards recurring revenue type things, where if people buy something, instead of it being a once-off, offer them something where you can go with them on a journey, where they could either keep paying you on a monthly basis. It doesn't have to be a lot of money, of course. But the goal, the key really is to continue to help them and to continue to keep them on your side as clients. Because here's another reason why I'm biased towards this. It's because you don't want to lose your best clients. If somebody bought something from you, they became a great client and you like them, you enjoyed working with them, why stop? Wouldn't you want to continue to have them for another 3 years maybe? Than every month or every couple of months, you're always looking for new customers and you meet all sorts of people that you may not actually enjoy working with. You know, and then you let go of people that you actually enjoyed working. I know that this is for me a big bias of mine, because some of the things I as you guys know, I work with a lot of companies on topics such, or the areas where my main business is, apart from this program that I had to create because people asked me to teach these partnerships. But this is still not part of my main company. This is still a side project, these partnerships. It's a new thing that I'm introducing. But what I do, what I've been doing for the last 10, 12 years, we've been running a revenue and growth research agency. And our focus has been in two areas, just two things. One, how do we help? Because more than 90% of companies are performing below their potential. More than 90% of companies, particularly companies that are run by entrepreneurs. I always say entrepreneurs are chief destroyers of value in business. And I'm saying this because of my background. Because my background, I used to be a trader at Investec, trading these JSE listed companies, where they had to be very, very efficient in terms of maximizing value for their shareholders. A lot of entrepreneurs, they leave a lot of value basically on the table because they're excited by their own ideas and they lack experience of actually unlocking value in businesses. So what my team and I have been doing, have been helping these companies maximize revenues every month. So for the past 5 years, I can count in less than both my hands cases where I've gone to, where we've gone into a business and we didn't find a way to increase their revenue by at least an extra 100,000 a month, meaning in a predictable way, where they add an extra 100,000 to a million rand or more, predictably month on month, because that value is already there. It's just that the entrepreneur didn't know how to unlock that value. So that's always been an area of our focus. The other area of our focus is another area of great bias for me, which is building cash reserves. I love this area because nothing gives you peace of mind as a business owner than knowing that you've got piles of cash sitting in a separate account that you don't even touch. They are just sitting there as cash reserves. Especially now, I think a lot of people are learning this the hard way. During COVID, that businesses were not operating. They were closed for 2 or 3 months. Some are still closed. Those businesses can only continue if they've got reserves of cash to actually buffer them against whatever's going on. And I've always been an advocate for finding bundles of cash, if you're a business owner, finding bundles of cash and piling that cash up in reserves. So those are the two things that I do day in and day out. And you can do these things if you have the bias that I have, which is keeping your clients for the longest time. Some of our clients have a 25-year agreement with us. 25 years. I know that sounds like, what? Yes. You know, because I figured I enjoyed working with them. Why stop? And they are still in business. Chances are they want to build this business to be something formidable that they may hand over to the next generation. Why not help them for the next 25 years? Build it into a billion rand company that they can hand over to their kids. It just made sense to me. So that's when I offered them a 25-year agreement. Say, can we work together for the next 25 years? Where do you want to see this company? You know, when, at its best, what would it look like? Oh, gee, I'm hoping it will be a billion rand. Okay, then what if we could put together a 25-year plan to get it to a billion rand? So that's extreme, but I think it drives the point that why stop? Why not continue with your customers for the rest of your life if you love them? You know, who knows the relationship that you and I are starting now, what's going to happen after this program? That we may find something where we could work together after this. Who knows? Some of you guys in 2045, I may still be working with you. We'll both be gray and some, maybe me, I probably won't have any hair left at that time, you know, and we'll be looking back saying our relationship started in 2020 in the middle of a pandemic. So again, I'm being explicit to drive this point that it's so important to think about what's next. I'm going to sell them this, but what am I going to do after that? After they buy the thing, am I just going to let them go and forget about them? 3 years from now, I don't even remember their names. So I'm saying if you enjoy working with them, if you like them, keep them for as long as you can. All right. Glenn, you've got your hand up. Can we unmute and then let's have a chat. And then I'm going to move on to the second part of Norma's email. Hi, Glenn. I can't hear a word from your side. I'm sorry. Nothing coming through at all. Maybe this is that device, the one where I couldn't hear you about 2 weeks or so ago. I'm actually putting up the volume. Still can't hear anything. If possible, Glenn, maybe just type your comment or question on the chat, and then I'll just pull it out and read it. I'm sorry, man. I wish I could hear you so that we could have a chat. But in the absence of that possibility, maybe just type the comment or question so that we can deal with it. Anyone else wants to have a say on the stuff we've just touched on already before I move on to Norma's letter? Anyone? Nobody? All right. So Norma, since we're talking about since I was addressing your one sentence business plan, maybe it's appropriate then for you to come back on the line so that I can make sure that this went to where you were hoping it would go.
Yes, it did. I just never thought of it that way, that we could offer more than just a one-day workshop. That should keep, should have something to keep them coming back for more. So that's also something that I need to consider.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. Alrighty. So with this, there was a letter, which I guess is offering. So let me read the letter and then we'll talk about it. Dear sir, trust you are well. Imagine Sanlam being in a partnership with a kids program that educates kids on social issues and the topics that most parents are having difficulties discussing. As parents, myself included, as parents can protect our kids up to a certain level, and we are not always around our kids. But what if we can invest in equipping them with the knowledge of how to thread around certain situations and what certain changes in life mean, ensuring them even if parents aren't around. I am Noma, an entrepreneur and a mom. Even though my business is mainly focused on professional solutions, I realize as a parent, certain issues are difficult to bring up with my child, even though they are important and vital in their upbringing. I want to partner with Sanlam and offer kids workshops to families who want to create awareness to their kids about issues that might be difficult to talk about. Sanlam is a brand that strongly believes in building and empowering, also investing in our children's education. This partnership will do just that and bring more families closer to the Sanlam brand. Please apply your mind on the idea and feel free to contact me for any clarification. Your response is highly appreciated and hopefully we can unpack this idea over a virtual coffee. Love this. Anyway, before I say that, you guys are now experts at these emails. I think I'd love for you to comment before I comment. I'd love anybody on the call. We've been doing, this is week three now, we're talking about these emails. I'd love to get your take, you guys, your unique perspective on this one. Anybody who wants to jump in and comment on this one that Noma just sent us? Come on, guys. Hey, Glenn.
Am I back?
No. Yes.
Okay, I missed the last part of Noma of your talk now, I was trying to connect up, but it's fine. What I want to say about Noma's
part. Which part, where did you catch me? So that if I can just read it again, I mean, we still have a bit of time.
No. The way where you were commenting on Noma's, where it's going to end, you know, after the scores, et cetera, that part.
I see. Is that where you left the conversation?
Yes, but the scary part is that what I want to actually share with you now is that while she was speaking and saying that, you know, we as just listening to what's happening in the group, there are other ideas that spring to mind. And I immediately started thinking in terms of, I'm on this course to try and grow my business, the core. My challenge and the question I have for you is, there are obviously multiples of business that one can look at. Because your peripheral vision goes open and you see opportunities that you never probably would have seen before.
Uh-huh.
You know? And one of these cases is, I met just a very short synopsis. I met a chartered accountant at a ATM, 75-year-old guy.
Uh-huh.
This gentleman ended up being he calls himself a deal maker. He puts people together. And the only way I met him was he asked me, can you help me do a cash transfer, a 300 rand he had to pay the lady who works for him, and he couldn't get in time to her, and he had to do a cash transfer. So afterwards he said, can I buy you a coffee? So I said, okay, yeah, let's chat. 75-year-old guy, relaxed a bit. And he's a retired chartered accountant that brings businesses together, including having access to Raymond Ackerman, a number of clients that I know that I never pitched before, you know, where I was basically scared of pitching. But that's a type of opportunity now. As a he calls himself a dealer business, he connects people and he charges a fee. Now, just that portion, I think, is something where I could possibly also enter into. And the very scary part, I'm talking very scary part now, as far as Norma is concerned, a colleague of mine is a certified financial planner. She's written three books on children's financial planning. So she has worked on a Saturday morning with the children, the parents sit in the coffee shop next door, and those parents are our clients as well. And wow. the scariest part, she phoned me while I was trying to connect.
Wow.
She phoned me now and I said, he was Google. You won't believe it. I was just about to say, look, I'll introduce you to Norma and the two of you could maybe talk with each other because there's synergy. I think there can be synergy between the two.
I can see it too, Glenn.
So I said to her, you are getting chicken skin over here now because, yeah, it's in my mind and you're phoning me from, I mean, she's in Johannesburg and I'm in Cape Town. Just phoned me now. My connection to her was to introduce Norma to her, maybe, and the two of them can maybe look at doing something together or, you know, just introducing it, ending it. But coming to that part of the business, I was now just like also just thinking in my mind that I've got that ability of linking people. I've done it all my life, and I've never charged anybody a fee or made a business out of it or anything, you know. So the people that I introduce, they gel with one another, you know. It's not that cheap.
You have no idea what a special skill that is. I actually know guys whose whole business is that, not in South Africa, in the States. I know guys whose business is doing exactly what this 75-year-old was talking about and what you are talking about, where they introduce people. They even have a model of how they get paid for that. You know, if deals happen, what percentage they get for doing those introductions and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I would, if that's what you are thinking, because for you, that already comes naturally and you already have the networks. It would be just easy money. Yeah. And it would also be very fulfilling for you because you love doing it, you know, over and above. The money is just, it's the case of, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this type thing.
Yes.
I think you should do it. But I'll negotiate for Norma to say she'll be exempt from the fee.
No, definitely exempted. Yeah, totally exempted.
So she'll be exempt from the fee since the idea came. Awesome, man. Awesome, Glenn. Wow, this is cool. Sorry, Glenn. Is there anything else you wanted to say? I think I lost you again. Oh man, I think I lost you there, Glenn. But thank you for that contribution. Thank you so much for that. But if there's anything else you wanna, you're back.
No, she is definitely exempted. I will be passing clients on to her, you know. And she's speaking at Ellen Gray at all these big functions, and you know, so she's a 35-year-old young lady, you know. I think 37-year-old young lady. The books that she's written is on financial literacy, and she uses her family and children. She's speaking at Ellen, and you know, so she's a young lady. The books that she's written is on financial, and those books are, I think, 150 rand each. So when they come to the presentation on the Saturday morning, those books are. There could definitely be some connection between Norma and Google, for example.
Oh, totally. There's not even a hint of competition. That's the thing between these ideas.
They're so complementary.
So now, look, so what would you like to do, Glenn? Would you maybe like to chat to Norma at some point after this call so that you can have a little bit of understanding and then see how you can introduce her and Google?
By all means, I said to Google now, look, I'll chat to her on Monday because I'm busy in a meeting now. And in fact, she's into another book, so I think I'm Pretoria. So, yeah, by all means, I said to Google now, look, I'll buy that call that came through. You know, so that type of connectivity. For example, with Google, I've done some work for her. I said, you don't pay me now. When things ease out, we get sorted, you know? So that's the type of relationship that I've got with her, and at some point in time when the business goes well, I know she will pay me. You know, So that's what I like. You know, in terms of where you're helping someone, and at the end of the day, when things go well, you don't even have to ask; it will naturally come naturally.
See
some connection between Google and
great, Glenn. Thank you so much. Can you do me one thing while this is in mind? Can you just type your number on the chat? Because Norma will be able to see it on her side. If for whatever reason she can't see it, I'll just give it to her so that she can reach out to you. Is it okay? I mean, I don't want to speak for her. When can she call you? When can she call you?
She can call me after this meeting, even.
She can call you after this meeting. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So obviously, I don't know if she'll be able to, but she'll tell us now. If you can just type your number on the chat, she'll be able to see it. And if she can't, I'll be able to give it to her so that she can reach out to you. I think something great can come out of this.
Yeah. 2, 6, 9, 4. There you go.
Hey, Norma, I see you. Yeah, you're also back on the line. Can you see Glenn's number on the chat? I can see it. Everyone on the call should be able to see it. I've got it, yeah. Hey, Norma,
Yes, I can see the number. This would be very great, and I highly appreciate it. I mean, I think I'm already her client as it is. My kid loves money so much. Like, and I don't even know if she knows how to manage it. So, yeah, this would be great.
And I can't hear you clearly. I hope Glenn can. But Norma,
I heard now.
Okay, great. So, Norma, please take down the number so that you don't lose it when I switch or when I end this meeting. So can you, I just want to know, are you able to call Glenn after the meeting?
Can I please call him on Monday?
That's cool.
All right.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Great. Wonderful. Thank you guys. That was a nice touch. Thanks. All right. So let's come back to Norma's email. I don't know if anyone else on the call would like to comment on the email that I read out that Norma wrote. Anyone else? Okay, nobody else. Okay, cool. Norma, my general feel for your email, I like it. I think it's from the last one that we reviewed that you wrote, I can already see the improvement. I can already see the improvement from the feedback we gave you last week on your other email and the way you wrote this one. Because the first paragraph, it basically goes to the heart of, you know, of what the opportunity is. You know, a partnership with this program. And then you talk about why, you know, there's an opportunity here where you say, as parents, we can protect our kids up to a certain point. Everyone who reads this, chances are the person who reads this is a parent. So as you read this, they're just nodding. That's what I like about it, is that as I read this, it's one of those where, you know, the 2020 people say, no lies detected. You know what I mean? So as I read this, I'm nodding. I'm like, you're right, 100%, you know, because I'm reading it, it speaks to me as a parent. And then you talk about yourself, and you also, you introduce yourself basically. And what qualifies you to this, beyond you being just a mom in this case, nobody actually cares at this stage are you a psychologist, are you this or whatever it is. Nobody cares. That's another thing I like about this. It doesn't, It doesn't ring alarm bells that says, what makes you talk, what gives you this? Because it speaks to the things that people are already stressed about. Like, how do I talk to my kids about these things? Where can I get information about this? Here comes somebody who actually has something that can help me with this. So I like this. I like basically everything you said here. The only thing I can add, it's not even a necessity, but it would be a nice touch if you knew the person you were writing to, and then you just put a little bit of a connector to that person. Let's just say the person you're writing to at Sanlam is holding a certain position, and maybe she's the head of the product, of the financial product for kids, just using that as an example. Then you can just tie, you know, let's say there's a story, if you remember last week's Q&A, where I pulled that Vodacom story that I was talking about, yeah. Because those, if you remember on lesson 4, actually, on this week's lesson, where I was talking about triggers, you know, those types of stories, timing and news. So if you can find something that links to the person you would be writing to, where you could just say, hey, I saw that in your newsletter, you were quoted as saying, or in Business Day, you were quoted as saying, or in Business Report, because Business Report on Saturdays, for instance, they always have that personal finance feature thing. Maybe this person was quoted there, and they were saying the importance of, you know, of educating our children, financial literacy or whatever. But you could just tie this to that, even though it has nothing to do with these topics. But these topics are just as important for a child, as you said, yeah, the development of children. These topics are just as important as teaching them personal finance. So, but if you don't have that, this email as it is, it wins in my book. So, I like it. I'm loving, really, I see the leap from the previous email to how you wrote this one. So it's a thumbs up from me. I don't know. It's a yes from me, as they say. I don't know what other people are saying on the call, if they have got differing views. I'd love to hear those. And I think you probably would love to hear those too, Nana. Anybody else? And in the absence, I think, of further comments, Norma, maybe just come. Oh, Esther has a say. Hey, Esther.
No, actually, it's not with regards to Norma's email. So I was just checking because I did send an email through on Wednesday if you had received that.
I will have to look. I will have to look and see.
Oh, okay. And I read it out, perhaps, just to get some critique.
Sure, please go ahead, Esther.
Okay.
Oh, I've got it right here as well. I've got it. I just found it.
Oh, okay.
But please read it yourself. I think that would be great.
Oh my God.
You wrote it. Come on, Esther. It's your email.
Okay. So it's a bit, I didn't know how to start. It's a funny start, but anyway. So it goes, good day. I, Esther Dube, am a project management professional, and so far have been fortunate to work on multidisciplinary CAPEX projects in mineral processing plants, chicken abattoir, bakeries, meat processing plant, and sauce manufacturing plant. Process optimization is one of my passions, and I believe there is a lot of potential to be unlocked in the CAPEX space, which would lead to profitable utilization of CAPEX. Would you kindly spare me an hour to further unpack my offering and together decide on the direction of our partnership will take? Your response will be highly appreciated. Regards, Esther.
Great. Okay. Comments. First of all, let me start. Your email is very clear. I like the paragraph, the bigger paragraph where you talk about your passion for CAPEX projects and your background, where you've worked with in this space. I like that because it positions you basically. It says, this is who I am, this is what I'm about. And this is what I believe in terms of opportunity and all that. So I like that. Of course, we could tweak the wording here and there, but overall, I like that because it's very clear. The start, obviously, as you have come to know me, when I write to people, I try to write to them the way we speak, right? So in your normal day, I don't see you saying, I, Esther Dube, am this. So that would be just the one thing.
Yeah.
I would change, because now it sounds like, you know, when you sign a contract, it says, I, Esther Dube, hereby confer. Yeah. So that would be just one tweak I would make, because that's not how we speak as people, how we speak to each other. So I wouldn't say, I would just introduce myself. Hi, my name is Esther Dube, and full stop. And then I am a project management, blah, 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 blah. So that's how I may start that. And then the other part, where you say, would you kindly spare me an hour to further unpack my offering and together decide on the direction our partnership will take? That's a bit of a jump, because there was nothing about partnership in anything you said, unless I missed it. I didn't see anywhere where you talked about a partnership. Mm-hmm. Now, in your request for an hour, you're talking about our partnership will take. It's like, mm-hmm. whoa, which partnership? Where? When did we get here? You know what I mean? So that it, which means there's more information that needs to be put in there before we talk about our partnership and in this context where you say the direction our partnership would take, because it presupposes that we know what we're talking about. We're talking about our partnership, but at no point did that come up in your email before this slide. So there is there's probably another paragraph that this email needs. Where you can maybe, because you're writing, because this email is very broad in this current form, mm-hmm. but I understand why, because you at this stage we are just, you know, reviewing it. But when you're writing it to somebody, it may be helpful, obviously, to put context. We've been talking a lot about context. Why are you contacting me? Why me specifically? So the company you'll be writing to, you will have a reason why you reached out to them. So So that's what the second paragraph, the one that's missing right now, will kind of touch on. I'm contacting you guys because, you know, whatever it is that is your context for reaching out to them. And then that's what will lead to you talking about, you know, the possible opportunity for a partnership, a mutually beneficial partnership that you see. And then after that paragraph, you have this line. Would you kindly spare me an hour to further unpack I wouldn't say my offering, because I try to avoid things that could be misconstrued to be sales, particularly for this. I have nothing against sales. I love selling, you know, but because we're talking partnerships here, I like to keep it at the kind of friendly kind of level, because people tend to feel a bit, you know, whoa, what are you off? What's this thing about the offering? So right now we're just talking about a partnership. So I would rephrase the whole thing, unpack my offering. I probably would remove that part and just focus on us deciding what direction our partnership would take. Does that make sense?
That does. It actually does.
So what I would like to see from you, when you resend this to me, Esther, what I'd like to see, choose a company, do a bit of research on what's going on, maybe, because you already know the companies you'd like to go after. Just do a search on Google, see if you can find anything on the news right now about their situation, whatever that may mean, that we can use. If you can't find something, make it up. If you can't find something, make it up and put that second paragraph based on what we just discussed, a bit of context, why you are contacting them and why you think there's an opportunity here for you guys to do something together. Make that paragraph, add that paragraph, and send that to me, and then let's tighten it from there. Would that be okay?
That would be super. I'll do that.
Awesome, great. Is there anything else you wanna ask, comment on before we wrap up? Anything else?
Nothing from my side. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you. I see Glenn's hand is up. Glenn, you can unmute yourself. Welcome back.
Thank you. So I don't have any contact at Sunlam, but I do have a couple of people on my LinkedIn profile. So I'm So I think
I just lost you then, man. You disappeared for a sec there.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Loud and clear.
Okay. So I'm saying I don't have any contact at Sanlam. However, I do have a couple of people on LinkedIn. So that's where I wanted to start.
Okay, cool. No, that sounds great. We'll, and if there's anything else we can do, obviously, to help you in this regard, of course we will. So I assume you're responding to that part that I said you can add if you knew the person you're writing to.
Oh, so I guess
what I wanna, just to add to what you just said, and this will be general across the board when we send these types of emails. When we do find that person's name, let's Google them. Let's make it part of our process to say, once we find who the right person is, let's just do a bit of a search, because I find that when the email starts, if you remember the email on, I think it was this week. Let me just check my notes here. I think it was this week's email where I gave you, I think it was it last week, where I used my email to Marina, where I used that example to Marina, where I referenced something she said, and which had nothing to do with what I was writing to her about, but it's definitely not this week. I think it was last week. Am I ahead of you guys? Let me see if it's not still coming up next week. No, man, it was week three. I'm pretty sure. I think it was week three or week two. But you guys have that anyway. You've got that in your notes, where I used another email that I had sent to Marina, where I referenced something where she was quoted saying something about MBA. You know, if you do an MBA, this is what it means. So it always helps to, when somebody sees that you've done a bit of research on them, we are like that as human beings. There's nothing that a person likes than to read about themselves in a nice way, in a complimentary way. And by the way, I'm teaching you guys this because I've been doing it all these years. I remember writing in 2009, writing to Raymond Akerman and doing exactly this, you know, where the first line was complimenting him on the work he's doing at the UC Graduate School of Business, where he set up the Entrepreneurship Academy and. Because even billionaires, they don't get complimented enough. You know, people who run companies, like top executives, nobody comes knocking at their door and say, Mr. CEO, shake this hand. You're doing a great job. Nobody does that. So it always helps, because they're human too. So humans love to be appreciated. I did that with Mark Lamberti when I reached out to him in 2009, around the same time I approached Mr. Akerman. I did the same, you know. So I know this really works, and it tends to increase response rates when people know that this is not just an email that you send to 100 other people where you just change the name at the top, where they know that you actually wrote to them specifically. And that's a kind of nice way of saying, well, if you, in case you were doubting this was for you, guess what? It is specifically for you. Here's how. Does that, I hope that helps, guys. I know Glenn is on the line and he wanted to say something. Hey, Glenn, you can come back. Hey, Glenn. Back to you. I think we are having that problem again where I couldn't hear you. Let me know if you can. I hope you can hear us. Hey, Glenn. It sounds like we're having mic problems from your side. Yeah, sounds like we're having issues. I can't hear you at all this time. Okay. One last time? No?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, lovely. Yes, I've got you.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Thank you.
No, just on this opening, I sort of agree with you. However, my thoughts are around
when we want to send these letters, like you said, one should Google. And it just sort of came to mind now that to take that name and go and see are the reviews, are the Hello Peters, are the, because the more problems you can pick up on someone or whatever, and you've got a solution, that will sort of cement your opportunity for the appointment. You know, wow. You can sort of, where someone is, you know, lacking on something or their business is doing a bit bad, and you know you've got the tools to change things for them. So I agree with you. It's actually good to go and Google up on the person that you're going to be talking to, or when you're researching the company, are there any sort of bad reviews where you
Totally like that angle, Glenn. Thank you. Thanks for that input. I think it would benefit a lot of people in our group. That's very, very good. So guys, take a note. Take a note for sure on that. I think one other thing I just want to say on that. Okay, Esther, I'll come back to you. Just don't hang up. Just hang 10 for one sec. One thing I want to add quickly on what Glenn has said. If you do find something negative, just be careful, because we are all the same. We don't like criticism, okay? So people like to be defensive when you call them out on something they're not doing well. So when you do write to them, remember to come from a place of compassion. You know, don't just say, oh, I see that you guys are having all of these complaints about this. Because some people they wear their hearts on their sleeves. So they may be like, oh, you know, it's not our fault, because they've already probably defended themselves, saying it was not their problem. They've already passed the buck somewhere else. So just remember to be tactful and compassionate if you're going to go there. But I think what Glenn said, 100%, I think we should all do it. Thank you, Glenn. Hey, Esther.
I'm sorry. I just wanted, maybe if you can repeat what Glenn said, because I couldn't get. I couldn't get half of what Glenn said, so I was wondering if it could be repeated, because I didn't catch half of it.
No problem. Basically, what Glenn was saying, he was adding to what I said to Norma earlier, to say when you've got the contact, that the person that you're going to reach out to in a company, you Google them and see what you can find in the news that you could use as that link, you know, to start that email where you could reference it. So Glenn, what Glenn was saying was that it may also be helpful to look for even negative reviews. Go to Hello Peter and put that person's name and see if anything comes up. Like if there were people who were complaining about, let's say, bad service from this person, or there were issues that customers were not happy with. Because if you can get that information, it could all, and if you've got a solution that can help them deal with that problem that customers are complaining about, it can strengthen your case as a problem solver for this company. So that's the gist of what Glenn said. And I'm hoping that I actually didn't mess up his advice, but that was my understanding of his advice, that you look for any bad reviews, because if those are areas where you could add value or where you could help this company, then you've got a really good reason to reach out to them, and you could reference that as well. Glenn, first, Esther, does that make sense, the way I've explained it? Do you feel that you understand it now?
Yes, absolutely. It is actually more on how, like, I can research more on the getting context and a way to actually approach the target. Let's put it that way.
Great. And Glenn, did I do justice to your suggestion?
Perfect. All good.
All righty. Okay, guys. Wow, this session today was quite vibrant. I like it. Are there any comments? We still have a bit of time, by the way, guys. Are there any comments, questions that you guys still want to bring forward before we close? Anybody, just unmute yourself if you've got anything you want to add or ask. I've got you, Glenn. I've got you back.
Yeah, just a question where I find myself sometimes as difficult to handle is that
and I'm very conscious of it, is that opportunity knocks on my door, but I sometimes need to turn it away because I know for a fact I cannot give this person a good service, you know? And sometimes those sort of leads dwell away because I don't have anyone else that I can maybe pass it on to, or, and it's sort of, I think sometimes, you know, puts a bit of a weight on my shoulder because I so much wanted to maybe take the business on, but because I know my capacity is limited and I only take on so much I can handle. Because I can, like, for example, in my business now, I can probably get on 10, 15 new clients right now, but I'm not taking, I take them on 2 a month, 3 a month, so that I know when I take them on, I can give them the proper service they deserve, you know? So, what I find difficult sometimes is when clients come to you and you need to turn them away or to park. Sometimes I park them. I say, no, stay where you are, you know, until such time that we can talk again, whatever. I'm always scared of taking on someone and growing the business and then you can't service. And that's something that I'm struggling to deal with, you know, to maybe I must form a partnership with someone likewise.
I've got a suggestion for you.
Yeah.
May I?
Yes, you may.
Okay. The best advice I can give you on this one comes from a gentleman called Glenn, who happens to be on this call.
Okay.
Basically, the idea you spoke about earlier, connecting people.
Yes.
That's the part of the business that's going to solve this problem. Because just to add to exactly the point you just made about forming partnerships, now, because you know what kind of things people come to you for, that you know you cannot help them with, what I would then suggest is find the best people you can find who have the highest expertise, the highest integrity, the best reviews in those areas. And the best conversation you can have with these people is to say, hey, Daniel or Paul or somebody or Mary, I've got a problem here. I've got all these people that come to me that are looking for your services. Would it be okay if I send them to you?
because
that's the best news any business owner can hear. When somebody says, I want to give you business. I want to send more money to you. You know, that stops them right on their tracks. And then they say, Glenn, by all means. Then what that leads to is a discussion of what form that partnership will take. And I think at this time, you will already have this component of your business where you connect people. So you just tell them what your terms are in terms of how you work, when you connect them, and, you know, however you will get paid when you decide to do this. So yes, your idea earlier will solve this problem. Does that sound like it's helpful? Yeah.
No, most definitely. I think the one thing I must definitely work on is, you know, I've come from a position of always being needy. You know what you mentioned in the beginning of this course? Don't be needy, you know?
Yes.
But because I want to help someone, and it comes sometimes, for example, if I look at financial planning, if you quote a person a premium of 10,000 rand a month, because I can't afford it, I will sort of feel needy for that person. I'm feeling sorry for him to pay his 10,000 rand.
I know what you mean.
I'm bringing a solution to him, you know. So that's the part I probably must work on in my mind to overcome that.
Yes. So, I mean, if I may comment on that as well, because what you're saying, it is so crucial what you just said. I think the first step to dealing with it is what you just did, because you picked it up. A lot of us don't pick it up. You know what I mean? We don't pick up our own neediness, and we don't contextualize it to say why am I uncomfortable, you know, with this, you know? And when we're being honest, that actually, you know what, I'm projecting here. You know, I'm projecting my own limitations. I'm projecting my own, you know, inabilities, because, geez, this looks like a lot of money. I can't imagine somebody paying so much money for this. But what you did, I mean, the fact that you identify this is actually such a brilliant first step. You know, it's almost half the problem solved, basically. So then the next thing I would recommend, I wish Lucas was on the call, because I think he may have a great suggestion for this. But what I will recommend is that remember what this product or this solution will do for that person. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's about, we are in the business of solving our clients' problems. So the mere fact that this person needs to purchase this product that is a premium of 10,000 Rand a month, it's because of the value that it will bring to their family. You know, let's say it's this husband, when this person passes on and he's no longer able to afford his family the lifestyle they're accustomed to. Oh, gee. Yeah. 20 million Rand will walk through the door, which will, yes, it will not replace the parent after the husband or the wife, but what it will do, it will relieve this family of the pain, of the financial pain at the very least. You know what I mean? Because usually when a breadwinner passes on, the family has got a lot to cry about, because one, they lost someone they loved; two, they're left with a lot of financial problems. So I would always go there. I would forget about, you know, the premium and whatever. I would be excited.
Their problem my problem. It's not my problem. I've got a solution.
Totally.
Yeah.
Great.
Great. Okay.
Guys, you guys today were just on fire. We're really, really on fire. Anything else, guys, before we wrap up? I think we are done, eh? I think we really covered quite a lot of ground. All righty then, guys. I'm going to end our call right here. So you guys must go and have yourselves a fantastic Friday evening and great weekend. Let's march forward until we get to where we want to go. Esther, I see you back.
No, I was just going to say goodbye. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
To add on what Glenn was saying, it's just that the more we get on with this program, the more you realize what you don't know. So I think the more you actually know what you don't know is when you actually start growing.
Wow. I couldn't have said that line. You see that last line? I could never have said it better than you just did. So thank you for that pearl of wisdom, Master. Thank you. All righty. Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
Okay.
And we'll touch base on the other side. Cheers. Take care of yourselves. And be safe. Remember that. Okay. Bye-bye.